When Mexicans vote on July 1st, one age group could play an outsized role. Millennials. That's because they have the potential to account for nearly half of the electorate. And they in particular back leftist frontrunner Andrés Manuel López Obrador. This is Karin Zissis of ASUA Online. I spoke with Pancho Parra, editor of polls for Nación 321, a site dedicated to politics and elections here in Mexico City. He explains why younger voters are backing the oldest candidate, but we also talked about movements like Wikipolitica, how Mexican millennials see the future, and why they don't want to take selfies with candidates.
You're listening to Latin America in Focus.
Latinoamérica en Foco.
América Latina en Foco.
A podcast by America Society, Council of the Americas, on politics, economics, and culture in the region.
We're a few days away from the election. You've been working on polls focusing specifically on millennials over the past couple of years. And you released a poll in March that looked at how millennials see this election and the country overall. And the age group covered is 18 to 36, is that right?
Yeah.
And can I ask, do you know roughly what portion of Mexican voters fit into this category?
Yeah, for the Mexican voters, it's about 48% of the demographics.
Okay.
You know, they fit into that segment. That's one of the main reasons we had Nación 321 from the few years ago. When we started Nación 321, we focused on that segment because we think that they have a specific weight that could be a key point on the election.
We're therefore looking at nearly the potential for them to be nearly half of the voters, right? So
yeah.
That's huge. One thing that was interesting to me when the poll came out, because now it's been a couple months, is that it showed a huge lead for Andrés Manuel López Obrador, or AMLO, as he's commonly known here. He had 51% of support in this age group, over 29% for Ricardo Anaya, and just 13% for the governing PRI's candidate, José Antonio Meade. And at the time, the distance between first and second seemed really big. But since then, the polls, the general polls that we're seeing are sort of similar. It's actually reflecting what you're seeing among millennials. But even with that, when I look at some polls now that have age breakdowns, I'm still seeing a lot of more support among younger voters for AMLO, even though he's 64. So he's the oldest candidate. And Anaya, who's second, isn't even 40 yet, but he's well behind with millennials. Why do you think the youngest voters are going for the oldest candidate?
Well, before answering that question, when you see all the numbers, you find out that López Obrador and Ricardo Anaya like overachieve on that segment versus the general population.
Okay.
On the March poll.
Uh-huh.
And in the case of José Antonio Meade, he was underperform. You know? And that being said, the first thing we can see on that poll is that millennials don't like Meade because of one reason. They reject the actual government. You know? On that same poll, we asked them about which one will be the candidate that you would never vote. And the most voted that they would never vote was José Antonio Meade with like 50%.
Oh, okay.
So that rejection starts there. Now, answering your question, why is he popular on millennials and he doesn't fit, maybe? He actually fit because of one thing. It's not about age. It's about the characteristics of that person. You know, you can see it on Uruguay. Also, if you think on Pepe Mujica, he was very popular around millennials. And also in the United States, which was the millennial candidate, Bernie Sanders, by far, by far.
The reason that people do not perceive that we are living in the wealthiest country in the history of the world is that almost all of the wealth and much of the income is going to the top 1%.
Those three politicians, Pepe Mujica, Bernie Sanders, and Andrés Manuel López Obrador, they have a way to talk that it's different but pretty similar.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm talking about. They talk slow but direct and easy.
Estamos arriba en el Estado de México. Pronto se va a acabar con la corrupción.
I don't think in a friend of mine that it's not really into politics that he hear a politician to talk in a very traditional and big ways. No, that sounds like the kind of things that my parent used to hear. Mm-hmm. I need to hear direct and easy things. Mm-hmm. And Lopez Obrador, I think in communication skills, he has that kind of things. Actually, one thing that it's brilliant from him is that he made concepts easy. As the Bernie Sanders campaign, again with the comparisons, he used to talk about the 1%. In Mexico, López Obrador, he talks about mafia del poder.
Justicia y seguridad, pero andan muy nerviosos los de la mafia del poder. Están entregando.
Mm-hmm. No, the mafia of power. Mm-hmm. No, the ones that have taken you out of the public arena. You mm-hmm. know, and that kind of things, it's easy to understand. And the other thing, he is funny because he is true. Mm-hmm. And if you think of the other two candidates, Ricardo Anaya and José Antonio Meade, well, Ricardo Anaya, he has been having issues to project a personality, you know, that who he is. He's the one who plays musical instruments or rides a horse, or he's like the new Edison. Like, who is this guy? It's not really easy to understand it. And in the case of José Antonio Meade, well, again, he has the lack of a good party because he's charging with the ruling party. And the other thing is that, in my opinion, he didn't manage to project a personality that it's easy to understand. He's the continuity of the government or the change of the government. He actually been talking about those two things. They're not compatible. Are you the continuation of Peña Nieto? Yes or not?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I like some things, or you want to change things because the things were done wrong. He doesn't fit into one of those positions. López Obrador, he has one thing. You like it or not, he is against some things from the last 18 years. He's been talking about those things, and it's easy to understand the personality that he have.
Mm-hmm. Right, because this is his third time running. I think AMLO is making headlines everywhere, so people are now familiar with him. I mean, that's one of the things that he's also sort of a known name because he's been running so many times. We're getting into the final days, and that means there are a lot of AMLO profiles being published in the United States in English for English-speaking readers.
Yeah.
And everybody's sending them to me here in Mexico. And I'm seeing a lot of Trump comparisons, and I think that's because for American readers, you need to have something simple to grasp for people to connect what the type of personality is. So it's interesting hearing you make the comparisons more with Bernie Sanders or Pepe Mujica than with Trump and shifting away from
that. He has some comparisons that will be possible. Maybe the relationship with media when Donald Trump talked about fake media.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe the comparison would be when López Obrador don't like something about media, he says prensa fifi. It's mm-hmm. like rich media, mm-hmm. media mm-hmm. for rich guys. So maybe on the issues about economic that Donald Trump wants to take to make a great America great again, and talk about nationalism on the business part. López Obrador also talks about that kind of things, but in a different way mm-hmm. that Donald Trump. Donald Trump is all about, like, no, America first. Oh, no, that was the House of Cards. Cards. But it's like, first the United States. And López Obrador sometimes makes a little bit winks of that kind of things, but it's more subtle.
One thing, though, in spite of the fact that AMLO has such strong support and over half of millennials back him, it was interesting for me to see how few millennials identify with a party. So, yeah, more millennials identify with AMLO's party, Morena, than any other party, but 59% of millennials said they don't identify with any party at all. And this is a country where one party dominated everything for decades. Why is there this distancing from parties, and what do you think it says about it, sort of a changing political landscape in Mexico?
Well, first of all, I think a lot of traditional political parties have failed to achieve or appeal to young voters. Why? Because they continue to doing strategies that are for a different kind of voters. That will be the first thing. Now, the second thing, they have a bad image, you know, because when you think about politicians, you think about their party. First example, PRI. This is the ruling party. PRI was the party of Javier Duarte, one of the most corrupted governors of Mexico that we have known. Mm-hmm. And it's difficult to think about PRI and not think about corruption because of the story of their members, you know? And that's one of the main reasons that political parties are, it's difficult to trust them. But there's something interesting. When we ask them to choose a party, if they have the opportunity to go with a party or an independent candidate, they finish going to the parties. So it's kind of weird because you would say, hey, if you don't like the political parties, why are you not choosing a independent candidate? That being said, I think that the problem is that also some of the representatives of the independent movement are not good enough. When you see those kind of characters, you see people that used to come from other parties. When we think about independent movement, I like to think more of Pedro Kumamoto and Roberto Castillo, Susan Ochoa, that they're members of a movement called Wikipolitica, you know, mm-hmm. that they say, we look like a party, we act like a party, but we're not a party because we don't receive public money. Mm-hmm. And that actually makes some sense in the voters, because they say, like, well, you have a common strategy for all of you. You manage to think alike. You have the same logo, but you're independent and you don't receive public money. Mm-hmm. I think that the issue is about public spending on political parties. That have been one of the main causes mm-hmm. of Pedro Kumamoto with his movement Sin Voto No Hay Dinero. Mm-hmm. You know, he says if they don't vote for the party shouldn't have that much money.
To clarify for anyone who isn't following this election closely, there's only one independent candidate right now, El Bronco, who was in the PRI for years. So for many, yeah. he kind of is identified as still being part of that system. There was Margarita Zavala who dropped out, another independent candidate, and some of the other.
And Margarita Zavala also was a prominent member of PAN, mm-hmm. the right-wing mm-hmm. party. And at that time, she says, like, well, if they don't want me at PAN, I will go independent. Mm-hmm. How do you going to appeal to an independent vote if everybody see you and see the PAN trademark? Mm-hmm. She actually uses the same colors of PAN. I think that the problem is with those independent options. Mm-hmm. When they don't find a good option, you go with the worst candidate that you know.
So what you're saying to some degree then is that an independent candidate has to be truly independent. These aren't truly independent candidates.
Yes.
So some of the other candidates you mentioned who, for those of us here in Mexico, they're really familiar names like Pedro Kumamoto. I think he's, like 28 or 29 now?
28.
And he's a legislator in Jalisco.
Local legislator?
Local legislator in Jalisco, and he's running as an independent for Senate. And for many people is a very hopeful.
Totally.
Very hopeful look towards the future. I think it's something that outside of Mexico, you don't hear a lot about the Wikipolitica movement.
Yeah.
Those independents. And he won as an independent in Jalisco. He's helped to shepherd through some really important pieces of legislation, such as one piece of legislation that stripped immunity for local legislators in the state of Jalisco, which is what we call El Fuero here. Mm-hmm. And so that's been very big. And I know that he writes a column for Nación 321.
Yeah,
right.
He writes a column. And, you know, those two pieces of legislation that you mentioned, I personally don't agree with him. You know, uh-huh. I think that Fuero, it has a reason to be, no? And I don't think that the best way to take money away from parties is the one he's proposing. But he has something. He's true about what he thinks. And that is something really different. And a lot of the people that are around the Wikipolitica movement, they project that spirit. And that's the main reason why he's different. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people, he doesn't have the political structure to be in a campaign. He has a lot of young supporters that go door by door. And it's an amazing movement in Jalisco. And now he's running for the Senate. Everything The polls are showing that he will be on the Senate, and I think that he may be the brightest and the most interesting character to follow up, because every step he takes is a bigger one. Mm-hmm. No, when he managed to go to the local legislator, everybody says like, yeah, he's so young, he's alone, he don't have a party, he won't make it. I actually think that at that time. Mm. And he closed my mouth. I don't know what he's going to do in the Senate. Uh-huh. So I think for millennials, it's very interesting to follow up those kind of politicians, because the main thing they have is they are really true. Mm. They talk a lot with people. And when you hear them, yeah, of course they have this hopefully sand, no? But you said, you know, this guy, it's accepting a lot of errors, and that it's really hard to find in another politician. He says, you know, that way to take money away from parties, maybe it's not the best, but it's the best that we could achieve. I'm really sorry that we didn't make it the best way, but we're taking small steps. Oh my God. You would never hear that from another politician, that it's in political parties. Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. the main reasons I think millennials are looking. They want to hear truly leaders, mm-hmm. as Pedro Kumamoto, or maybe as López Obrador, that he has been staying true to his causes.
Well, okay. So one thing I wanted to talk about that I found interesting looking through your poll is a completely different way of asking questions, even, right? So questions that you just don't see in any other poll, but also how people would answer. So, for example, when asking people to qualify the current president, Enrique Peña Nieto, they were asked to pick between a happy face emoji and an angry face emoji, and by far they picked the angry face emoji. And one thing that I also saw is that you had some questions specifically about political campaigning over social media.
Yeah.
And the largest number of respondents saw that you saw a lot of respondents saying that they saw social media as a way to do political campaigning, but on the other hand, most of them said they wouldn't want to chat with a candidate over WhatsApp or post a selfie with one of them online, right? So what? There's both this preference for social media and a distancing from it. You know, why do you think that is?
Well, maybe your aunt from Wichita, Kansas, added you at Facebook, and you said, okay, I'm going to add her. I'm going to accept her, uh-huh. but I don't want to interact with her. You know, uh-huh. Uh-huh. So I think the social media is now the public space, the plaza, mm-hmm. you know, the square that everything goes in. But they want to find political messages on social media. Mm-hmm. Yes. Why? Because you ask for a pizza and an app. Mm-hmm. You know, you are on your phone and maybe you don't want to watch a big ad on the street of a politician with his big face. Personally, uh-huh. I found that a little bit disgusting. You know, uh-huh. maybe I would like a small video of him saying some of his thoughts or ideas. Mm-hmm. No, you want to find political messages on your Twitter feed, maybe. Mm-hmm. You know, but when you said I want to chat with this guy, nah, not really. I don't want to interact that much with that guy. Mm-hmm. No, not in my social media. And the other one, and personally, that that was a surprise for me also. But when you think about it a little bit more, it make a lot of sense. Maybe I would vote for a candidate, whatever the name is. But I'm not really sure that I want to show my public support with him. Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. I'm going to give you a great example. You're dating someone, and you love to date that person. You love to send her memes or something like that. But are you going to change your profile picture with her? Oh my God, that's more compromiso, you know?
That's more of a commitment than you
want. That's more of a commitment, you know? You like to take on social media with a lot of levels, you know? Uh-huh. To inform you in social media, that's fine. To find things about the candidates, that's fine. But show my support on social media, not everybody.
Mm-hmm. 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 There's a lot of humor on social media here.
Totally.
It's so fast. I mean, if you're as an American, I end up watching all the debates that are in the United States. And you see a lot of jokes on Twitter when you have political things happening in the United States. But it's not like here. It's not the memes, the videos, they're instant. You know, there's the really famous thing that during the first debate, when El Bronco said that he would want to he would wanted to cut off the hands of thieves. That was one of his proposals, to cut off the hands of thieves, like Saudi Arabia style.
Un momento. Tenemos que mocharle la mano al que robe. Así, de simple.
And there was you could see the sign language interpreter doing the signal. And that clip and memes just went viral within seconds. It was so fast. And one thing that we've also seen here is how much music can play a part. So there was the Niña Bien video. Which was about a rich girl who was gonna vote for ya sabes quién, for AMLO. And then you do have some things that are actually produced by campaigns like Movimiento Naranja.
That was an amazing song. Oh my God.
We can't get that song out of our head, but the
na 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 na.
And that's not a very big party, but probably that song will be one of the most memorable things. They're in the alliance with Ricardo Anaya, but it's a small party in his coalition. But we're gonna remember that song for a long time to come. So, what do you think the role is? How do you think 2018 has really shifted in Mexico, social media, sharing of information, sharing of music, sharing of memes? How has that really changed this election, do you think, compared to past ones?
I think this is the first real election of social media. In 2012, I think it was, Twitter was really small, and Facebook was growing. I don't know, my benchmark is my mom didn't have Facebook on her phone in 2012. 2018, they have Facebook on their phone, they have WhatsApp. You know, a lot of memes actually travel faster through WhatsApp groups than when you post it on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram. And I think that you talk about an amazing point there. The humor of this election, it's really interesting, because I think that sorry to all the candidates, but I think it's have been a little bit boring in topics. They haven't been really interesting, the campaign, that the only thing you have is humor. Mm-hmm. And that's the main thing. If we really have a cleavage issue, are you against or pro this thing? Oh my God, then the debate would center and that kind of things. But when we think on the three debates that we have a lot of epic moments that are actually funny. The one that you're talking about, chopping the hands, cutting the hands. We didn't start a big debate on human rights. We just laughed because the candidate that proposed it, everybody knew that it was a ridiculous proposal. And okay, next. Mm-hmm. The second debate, I think in the second debate, we have the knockout of the election. In my opinion, mm-hmm. it was when Ricardo Anaya, that was the second runner, mm-hmm. Approaches López Obrador, and López Obrador took out his wallet, show it to the audience, and says he's gonna rob me. Mm-hmm. Look at, I'm putting my wallet here. I have it here because he wants to rob me. And everybody was like, ha ha ha, such a cute guy. But he actually says this guy is a thief.
Yeah.
And the other one that I think it was off the script, I think the first one maybe he think about doing that move. But the second one was one that at that time I didn't find it that funny, but was the Ricky Riquín Canallín.
¿Quiere responder, candidato López Obrador?
Es este Ricky Riquín Canallín. Ricky Riquín Canallín.
Mm-hmm. No, the time he says, López Obrador talks to Ricardo Anaya and says, Ricky Riquín, that it's Ricardo Rich.
It's Richie Rich from the...
Richie Rich. And then Anaya, that he's coward.
Like it's like a scoundrel kind of.
And that blows Twitter, that blows the memes, and...
Serénate, como dices tú, no te enojes.
Ricky Riquín, Canallín, serénate. No te enojes. Ricky, Ricky, canallín.
I was at a party the other day and a friend talked to another friend, his name is Ricardo, and he says, hey, Ricky Riquín, canallín, as a joke, you know? But that joke stay on the people's mind. We didn't talk about migrants and economy, and that was, those were the topics of the second debate. We think about the wallet and the Ricky Riquín. You know, mm-hmm. Why? Because the topics are not good enough. Why are not they good enough? Not because of the problems. I think in Mexico we have big problems. But I think that the candidates in the political context don't make interesting enough that we take them really seriously about policy.
Mm-hmm. And we can talk a lot about humor and some of these funny things that have come out during this process. But millennials are obviously really interested in some of the things that are huge issues for this country. And you can see it in their rejection of the current government, obviously.
Totally, totally.
Also, the top issue for millennials is solving the insecurity problem, the crime problem, and mm-hmm. violence problem in Mexico. Of the institutions listed, they had the most faith in the armed forces. Mm-hmm. Now, having said that, they didn't seem to have a lot of faith in institutions overall. Even with the armed forces, it was like a kind of close to half and half. It wasn't mm-hmm. an overwhelming confidence in the army, but it was the institution that they most trusted. So security, looking towards the armed forces, what do you think that says is on the minds of millennials? What are millennials thinking and worrying about?
Well, I think millennials, the first thing that they hope from our government is security. You know, that being said, the next question would be, what are they hoping to get from the candidates? Does the candidates have strong positions on that issue? For me, it's not really clear, and I've been covering the election. You know, maybe the amnesty proposal from López Obrador, but it didn't get any echo.
Mm-hmm. And I noticed it's not actually, that's not actually a popular proposal millennials.
That's a really bad proposal. People don't like the amnesty, but they still say, I'm going to vote for López Obrador. Mm-hmm. So for a political consultant, that maybe blow his mind because he says, okay, main issue, security. Proposal, amnesty.
Amnesty for criminals, we
amnesty
should say.
Amnesty for criminals. They don't like amnesty for criminals. They are not going to like the proposal of López Obrador. And they say, yeah, I don't like the proposal of the main issue, but I'm still going to vote for him. That's mind-blowing, but I think we have to take a step back and think, why is that happening? Despite that position on the main issue, people still want to vote for López Obrador because I think he represents more things than just the security issue. I think the main issue around the election is the second one they talk about. It's corruption. And it's really hard to say that López Obrador don't want to fight the corruption or that he's corrupt.
And this is something that I think is a connection with Trump, which is that as we've gone through the campaigns, there have been times when there are things that have come out in the news or come to light related to AMLO. For example, you know, business leaders coming out and criticizing him, or sometimes allying with certain questionable candidates and having potentially questionable legislators coming forth that could be appointed for his party. And he himself was in the PRI for a long time, right? So, mm-hmm. But there have been things that have come out along the way, and instead of hurting him, he's almost been like Teflon. It's like he just gets strong.
Not Teflon. He actually gets strong. It's like Hulk. It's like you make him angry and he gets more strong. It doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make sense, a lot of things in this campaign. Mm-hmm. You know, you try to hit it with corruption. You try to hit it with the amnesty. You try to hit him that he wasn't PRI. And everybody's like, why are you saying that if you are from PRI. The same candidate that is proposing from PRI attack him for being on PRI. So it doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So no, it's like nothing sticking. It's like nothing and mm-hmm. doing the opposite, right? So so one thing I did want to talk about, so because we get to chat on all kinds of things that I think are really interesting, that but you've been working on millennial issues for a couple years now.
Yes.
Polls, you did a poll early on when Nación 321, which is a millennial focus site published by El Financiero, and early on you did a poll. We did another podcast, and I'll make sure people have the link in the podcast notes so that they can hear what we talked about then. But you've been doing polls now for a couple years. Is there anything that surprised you? Is there anything that you've seen that's changed since you started? What are the things that you didn't expect?
Well, when we talked on the first one, there were a lot of issues that I thought millennials would be interesting. I don't know, climate change, environment. Mm. They actually don't give you know what, you know? And that, at that time, I found that interesting. But then I said to myself, maybe the image that we have on millennials, it's really American media prototype, you know? And the first thing that I think when I saw those results were, I'm not thinking on the Mexican millennial. Mm. I need to think more on this context.
Mm-hmm.
So on the next polls we were conducting, we were focusing more on the local issues and the national problems. And one thing we found amazing, they want results not necessarily now. When we said, what do you rather prefer? Problem solved now or investment on the future? They say future. And that thing amazed me a little bit to me. I thought like, no. If I want my pizza in 30 minutes, I want my problems solved in 30 minutes. And they said, no, I can wait. And I think that's something amazing because they are thinking on the future, you know? And that actually gives me a little bit hope.
We're thinking so much about July 1st, and we're thinking so much about the next 6 years. Do you think millennials, is that the limit for them? Are they thinking beyond that? And what are they imagining beyond that?
Well, I think like 1st of July is going to be a historical moment for the country. For the two reasons that can happen, if López Obrador wins, the left, as we understand it in Mexico for the last 30 years, it has always been opposition. And now everything aims that they are going to be government. Mm. And that concept is going to change radically for how we understand the left in Mexico.
Mm.
No? And if he doesn't win, I don't know what's going to happen. I think things would maybe would get a little bit messy, but the poll shows that he is going to win.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what are people and millennials are thinking to the future? They are thinking, and the poll shows them, they are thinking about a better future, better jobs, better security. The issues about housing, it's an issue for millennials because when I think of my mom at my age, she had a great job and a house.
Hmm.
I can't imagine to buy an apartment for me. It's pretty expensive. You know, I think that millennials haven't thought about the automation of jobs, maybe not in the big picture, but I think that those kind of things are coming. They are putting a lot of hopes on this government, and if the government doesn't answer, that's going to be a big issue. Because everything's being promised to the young people that they're going to have jobs, that they're going to be better paid, no? But if they doesn't accomplish those kind of things, I think that there will be a big democracy fail, no? Like in the Disney story, when things don't go like they should be, no? That, I think, is a big risk.
Great. Thank you so much for talking.
Thank you very much.
It's great.
Huh? Thanks for listening. I'm your host, Karin Zissis. This podcast was produced by Luisa Lemmy. Get more information on Mexico's elections from our guide at www.as-coa.org/mxelex. The music in this podcast was recorded at America Society in New York City. Check out upcoming concerts at musicoftheamericas.org. We hope you enjoyed this podcast. If so, leave us a review and subscribe at iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, or Stitcher.